Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And a very great welcome to you from Christian Worldview. Another good day on store for us here at the Christian Worldview program. 20th day of September 2005. We have some weather to check out for you.
Yes, we do. In Greenville, Spartanburg, 70 degrees. Downtown, 72. Anderson, 66. Clemson, 67. Today, mostly sunny this morning, then partly cloudy this afternoon with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms late in the day. Highs in the lower 90s, southeast winds around 5 miles per hour, and chance of rain is 20%.
All right. Well, I heard that we have a number of interesting stories that the research staff have found out for us and dug up for us overnight. In a day which seems to be devoted in the national news to a tropical storm coming across the Florida Keys and possibly turning into a hurricane and even going and doing damage again in the Gulf Coast. I haven't got anything more to say than that because it's only speculation at this point and it's not truly a hurricane yet. So anyway, here's an interesting story sent by Doug Taylor, who's the head of the Upstate Libertarian Society. Let 10-year-old read Bible at recess. Students' attorneys ask for immediate order from the court. Attorneys for a 10-year-old student asked a federal court yesterday to order a Tennessee school district to allow him to read and study the Bible during recess. Luke Whitson and his parents, represented by the Alliance Defense Fund, claim Principal Kathy Suma at Carnes Elementary School in the Knox County District violated constitutional rights by stopping a playground Bible study. Attorneys with ADF filed a lawsuit in June after Whitson and his parents were unable to resolve the policy, which officials through legal counsel. ADF senior legal counsel Nate Kellum, based the group's Memphis office, in the group's Memphis office, filed for a temporary injunction yesterday to ensure Whitson can read his Bible with friends during recess as the case continues. Apparently, the school officials have a fundamental misunderstanding of the Constitution, Kellum said. The Constitution does not prohibit Bible during recess. It prohibits the wholesale banning of Bibles during recess, as a matter of fact, he says. At any rate, this is an interesting story, rather public school story, and we find here, what do we expect? Bibles being outlawed in public schools. When you got something as evil and wicked, nefarious, wayward as the public school, why would we expect anything any different? You know, this is our key enemy in the world right now, besides the devil himself, maybe death itself. Of course, Christ will overcome death one day. But what we have here is an example of how this arm of Satan, this branch of his movement forward, his kingdom push in the world, is lashing out against the truth of God's word. It's not a surprise to us. And what will they do? They'll probably continue to ban it. It's only going to get worse. It's not going to get any better. I mean, why would we expect it to become any better in the public school when it's completely devoted to secular humanism, Darwinism, socialism, environmental nutcaseism, and a host of other things, including homosexual and transgendered and alternative lifestyles and any other moral activities? What do we expect from the public school, the indoctrination center? Not much. Well, here's a letter from Mary Lightheart. I think that's a code name. I don't know. Maybe it's not. But Mary says the following. I'm wondering how you could update your chili book, given Patriot Act, Real ID Act, Kelo decision, FEMA's handling of Katrina. There are more, but I'll have to stop. As of 2002, you said that you would be indifferent to living in the United States or Chile. How about now? Has Chile kept pace with us? Well, to some extent, I appreciate that question, that email from Mary. I would say that Chile's probably gained on us in some sense. Now, remember, I'm not going to advocate that Chile is a wonderful paradise. It's not. There are all sorts of problems in Chile. The country's addicted to lying. There are rampant adultery. There's all sorts of issues in Chile. But at least abortion is still illegal. At least regulation is less for many things, not for opening a university, but for many things, regulation is lower. There is no welfare state, per se. At least things are privatized. Social Security is privatized. The Federal Reserve equivalent down there is way under control. It's not perfect, but it's a whole lot better than what we've got. So, yeah, in general, we're doing better. Why? Because Chile never had the guarantees that we had in our Constitutional Bill of Rights to begin with. But they've been pretty good about protecting fundamental rights, especially to property. And here in the United States, those things have eroded, as far as I can tell, further. And property is less secure in America than it is in Chile, as far as owning actually real estate, for instance. We have a few other benefits, I suppose, here that they don't have down there. You can own guns in Chile, but they're very expensive due to an import duty, a special duty that's charged to them, or tax, I guess, it's on the sale. It may not be an import duty, but it's just a tax that's charged on the sale. You know, they have a culture that is less liberty-loving because they haven't had the experience of liberty like we have, and they're going down the drain in some ways, too, because people are forgetting what the communists were like 30 years ago, 32 years ago. It's a long time ago to remember, and all people see now is the present, not what happened that long ago. But Americans also have a short memory. They don't realize that even in the 1970s, they had vastly greater freedoms than what we have today, especially through because of things like the Kelo decision and the Real ID Act, the Patriot Act, and FEMA's handling Katrina, all those things that Mary mentioned. My thought is that indeed America is slipping farther and farther, and although I'd still be indifferent living in the two countries, I guess, I'd have to say at the moment Chile is probably gaining because they don't have a FEMA. They don't have a Patriot Act. They don't have a Kelo decision. Now, they may have other ways to get around these things. They don't have... The Patriot Act scoured and skewered the rights of Americans in the Bill of Rights. Chileans don't have a Bill of Rights. So, yeah, I suppose they could do certain things down there that they, if they wanted to. Interesting thing is they don't. There's something about their own culture there which seems to prevent a lot of these horrible things from going on that go on up here in America. So, in answer to your question, Mary, still indifferent. Still pleased with the country there in many respects, but I also see the weaknesses of certain things. Good question. Here's some other stories that have gone on. Pope bans homosexuals from ordination as priests. Applicants with gay tendencies won't be admitted to the seminaries. Wow. Pope Benedict VI has given his approval to a new Vatican policy document that bans men with homosexual tendencies from being ordained as priests, reports Catholic World News. The policy statement is a direct result of the Pope's concern about the pedophilia scandal in the church, especially in the United States. The text approved by Benedict at the end of August says that homosexual men should not be admitted to seminaries, even if they are celibate, because their condition suggests a serious personality disorder that detracts from their ability to serve as ministers, says the CWN report. Yes, sodomites have a serious personality disorder. They probably have more of a disorder than that, but okay, we'll call it a serious personality disorder. Good. So here the Catholic Church, the new Pope, is coming out and making it clear that he doesn't think that sodomites deserve any special recognition, or it should be even admitted to the, special recognition as priests, I mean, should be admitted to the seminaries to study if they even have a tendency to be that. Federal judgette blocks abortion consent. Jefferson City, Missouri, a federal judge Friday blocked enforcement of a new state law regulating abortion, saying it would have forced an end to the procedure in part of Missouri. Ooh, the procedure. The new law requires doctors performing abortions to have clinical privileges at a hospital within 30 miles. It also lets parents sue who intentionally cause, aid, or assist their minor daughters in getting abortions without their consent. The U.S. District Judge Nancy Nanette Lowry said in the civil liability language, threatens an immediate chilling effect on all abortion counseling within Missouri and nearby states, in part because the language is too vague to know what actions could be targeted. Well, unfortunately, this federal judge is upholding something evil. Nothing surprising here, either. Something for good for us to know about, though, isn't it? You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us this morning. Hope we're helping you your day be a little bit brighter and think deeper as a Christian and as a person who is becoming more and more informed every day on the principles of liberty and the principles, theological principles, that should guide us in our Christian walk. And we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain. If the state sets itself up as the supreme arbiter of human affairs, it must domesticate the individual, lest any lingering remnants of self-reliance weaken the state's authority. The state must resist the individual's effort to follow the dictates of his conscience, lest they conflict with the decrees of Caesar. In the interest of its own safety, the state must eventually deny that the individual is a person, for the individual can be a person only when he puts his obligation to God ahead of his obligation to Caesar. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in the Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 145. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you joined us this morning. We had a good event last night. That's right. The Christian Exodus local meeting was held last night at South Point Baptist Church in Pelzer, South Carolina, where we had about 30 or 40 people of the faithful gathering to discuss and talk about Christian Exodus and some of its themes. I had the privilege of being able to speak to this group for just a few minutes, talking about free market economics and a few themes, biblical themes specifically, on whether or not we should steal, for instance, or enjoy the welfare state. And of course, you, as you might have guessed, my response was that no, we shouldn't. One thing that should set Christian Exodus people apart from the others, other Christians in the world, is that we do not participate in those welfareisms and statist policies of the day, that we should not be taking Social Security or taking federal grants for students or taking food stamps or subsidized housing. We should not be stealing from other people. And this is a tough thing to say. People don't like to hear it. In fact, it's legal. And because it's legal, people tend to ignore it as if whether it's moral or not. We don't do that with all things, thankfully, like abortion. It's legal, but we still decry it as being wrong. But we tend to be more lenient with anything if it's legal. And we also tend to be less willing to stand up against something that's legal. How many times have you gone to church or been in a church where the pastor has actually rebuked people for stealing? How can you as a Christian take that Social Security check? It's wrong. It's sin. You should have saved for yourself. It's good. Not, it's poor stewardship that you didn't. And even if you had some misfortune befall you in life, that you end up in poverty in the retirement era, who says you have a retirement guarantee at any rate? And beyond that, why in the world do you think the Bible would say to you that you have the right to steal from other people from using the government system? I mean, this is a serious thing, folks. We all sin. We all have problems. But how can we willfully just go on callously stealing from people through the welfare state? Yeah, let's go rob that fellow that's working over there indirectly by using my henchman, the state. Let him hold him up, pass the law, make it legal for him to plunder that person, and then steal from him. Doesn't make any sense for Christians to uphold this, and I was encouraging Christian Exodus people to not participate in any kind of welfare state theft. How about you? Where have you been stealing from? Oh, I shouldn't ask such personal questions over the air now, should I? Well, I'll tell you what. Well, maybe I should. It is a problem in the church. Most Christians, I think, don't intentionally go out to steal from other people. I have to believe that it's very, very rare to find somebody who just says out and out, I'm going to steal from somebody else and I'm going to do it today. What more than likely happens is you have somebody who's just going along and doesn't know any different, doesn't realize that taking a Social Security check is actually robbing somebody else. There is no trust fund. There is no savings account. They haven't paid in anything any more than they paid into welfare food stamps by paying their income tax. It's just irrelevant wealth. It's a wealth transfer from one class or one group of people to another. Maybe they don't realize that. That's fair enough. A lot of people don't know that if they go into a bank with a gun and hold it up, they've stolen. Maybe they don't know if they do it through the state that they're stealing as well. And that could well be. Got to give people the benefit of the doubt, some credit in this respect. They don't realize that they're doing is wrong. Remember, there were many people who, when Josiah was king in Israel or in Judah, who had never heard the law of the Lord. They didn't know they were sinning. They were sinning, but they just didn't realize it. And once they realized it, they stopped. And maybe that's what we need today. Christians to take a stand and realize what they're doing is wrong by taking welfare state benefits and stop doing it. Making a stand in the world for this. We also need to make a stand as we begin to elect officials and so forth that people will not encourage stealing. That we'll go back to a limited constitutional government. These guys will not vote for projects or for grants or other things that loot one person at and give to another. So there are several ways we can combat this, this whole tendency towards robbing one's neighbor. And, well, anyway, that was part of my encouraging talk to those folks yesterday at the Christian Exodus meeting. Well, here's some other news for us. This came from the Los Angeles Times in the section on the nation. The Los Angeles Times, don't expect Rose End with Roberts, GOP senator says. Lindsey Graham, our favorite here, says the Chief Justice nominee's conservatism is based on law, not partisanship. Great. By Richard A. Serrano, Times staff writer, September 19th. A key Republican on the Senate Judiciary Committee warned his fellow conservatives Sunday not to confirm Judge John G. Roberts, Jr. as Chief Justice in the United States if they expect that doing so will automatically lead to a dismantling of the Roe versus Wade decision on abortion. This is Lindsey Graham. Oh, wait. But Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican from South Carolina, said Roberts would make a trustworthy conservative I don't know what we're trying to conserve there, Lindsay. Leader of the High Court, just not a sure bet for Republicans who for years have yearned to overturn the landmark 1973 ruling protecting a woman's right to choose abortion. If your view of being conservative has to decide your way, then you're going to be disappointed, Graham said on Fox News Sunday. What he will do with Roe versus Wade or any other case before him is judge it based on the briefs and facts of the arguments made. Graham said that while the decision can be overturned, conservatives should expect Roberts to vote and lead the court based on the law, not on partisan ideology, not on the truth, not on what God says, not on protecting somebody's rights, not according to the principles of the Declaration of Independence, but according to what Roberts feels, apparently. And he doesn't have strong enough feelings against abortion where he's going to apparently make a difference in that, according to Lindsey Graham. Interesting. Wow, what a shame. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we're not excited or enamored with either George Bush this morning or the Republican Senate, Lindsey Graham included, and especially not this guy, John Roberts, although many other people have been enamored with him. But we're going to be back in just a few minutes.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Been trying to work out some technical errors here at the studio this morning. None that you not to be too concerned about. Just one of those computer glitches, apparently, that's been going up and down. Well, here's a letter to the editor from a writer about the Confederate flag, which I thought would be interesting reading for us this morning. He says the following. The Confederate flag, and do I have the guy's name here? Yes, James W. King from Albany, Georgia. Okay, James W. King writes this letter to the editor. The Confederate flag and the United States flag are judged by different standards and criteria and are not held to the same levels of accountability. In analytical science and weights and measures, comparisons are made against known standards. However, in politics, comparisons are never made in a fair and impartial manner. In order to understand the hypocrisy, ignorance, and bias that have been directed against the Confederate flag, I think they mean the Confederate battle flag, it's necessary to use the United States flag, stars and stripes, as a standard of comparison. The purpose of this comparison is not to berate or disparage the U.S. flag, but rather to prove the Confederate flag has received unfair and unequal treatment. The genocide and racial cleansing of the American Indians took place under the U.S. flag. Their land was taken without fair and just compensation. Indians died by the thousands as they were forced onto reservations and subjected to starvation and deadly diseases. The Trail of Tears endured by the Cherokee is an example of the American West. The cavalry troopers murdered entire villages, including babies, in their mothers' arms. The U.S. flag flew over an unconstitutional and criminal war conducted against the Confederate States of America. Abraham Lincoln conducted this war for the benefit of wealthy northern industrialists. Atrocities against southern civilians and military are listed in the book, The Uncivil War, Union Army and Navy Excesses in the official records. Furthermore, slaves were imported from Africa to America primarily by five northern states, New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut, New Hampshire, and Rhode Island. The Confederate flag was not involved in the importation of slaves. Finally, the U.S. flag flies over a nation that has murdered an estimated 42 million babies by abortion. I think it's more closer to 50 now, actually. Confederate leaders would never have voted for abortion, and nor nominated judges that would legalize abortion. Well, we could only speculate. Political correctness has been used to attempt bans of the Confederate flag from schools, parades, public and private property, and even historical monuments and sites. The Confederate flag represents constitutional limited federal government, states' rights, resistance to government tyranny, and Christian values and principles. To say that it represents racism and bigotry is a negative and shallow interpretation comparable to saying the U.S. flag represents the genocide of the American Indians and abortion. That's from James King. Nice commentary, James. Good points. And we agree here at the Christian Worldview Show. Here's the property rights test. Came from the Wall Street Journal. The property rights test by Edwin Meese III. Edwin Meese. He says, despite current hype from Senate Democrats and landmark cases over the next 5 years, probably won't concern civil rights, abortion, or other issues that have liberals so worked up. Current court vote counts leave little room for major shifts, no matter what the judicial philosophy of Sandra Day O'Connor is a replacement. Instead, I believe some of the biggest cases will deal with property rights. A confirmed Justice John Roberts may well find waiting on his desk one property rights case potentially as momentous as the unfortunately decided Kelo versus City of New London. In Kelo, the court gave government the right to take property from one private citizen or company and give it to another. In this anticipated case, the Stearns Company Limited versus United States, the lower courts have overturned centuries of precedent demonstrating that, while it comes to protecting private property, and Ronald Reagan's favorite maxim, government isn't the answer, it's the problem. Stearns concerns one of the most ancient principles in property law, that ownership includes an absolute right of access, what the law calls an easement and lawful use. In 1937, a Kentucky family, owners of the Stearns Company, sold a tract of land, now part of the Daniel Boone National Forest, to the federal government. They kept the rights subject to environmental restraints to mine the coal underneath and the easement. Whoa. In the late 1970s, Congress banned any mining in national forests, with two exceptions, where property rights already existed, and if they did not exist, where the Secretary of the Interior said mines could operate anyway. When regulations were issued, technicalities excluded Stearns from claiming so-called valid existing property rights. The bureaucrats told the company to ask for permission to protect its property rights. The company sued. The case took 2 decades going through the courts. 3 years ago, the Court of Federal Claims ruled the government's actions constituted a taking of private property for public purposes, and the Constitution required the property owner to be compensated. The court said that even if permission were granted, the Interior sign-off was no property right. the fact that an act of governmental grace or benefit may have returned the plaintiff's right to the mine does not alter the denial of property rights. Last year, a three-judge panel of the Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit in Washington, D.C. reversed the Court of Claims, a decision the full Federal Circuit Court upheld in April. In the next few weeks, the Supreme Court must decide whether or not to review that decision. Few constitutional protections are less ambiguous than the requirement that private property must not be taken for public use without just compensation. It is rooted in the common law and is almost as ancient as the law, common law itself. To guard against abuse, the framers made these principles explicit. Matching the government's blunt power to compel sale of private property with an equally blunt obligation to pay for it. When another branch attempts to shirk its duty, the Constitution requires the judiciary to defend property owners. If the appeals court's decision stands, for the first time in American history, the courts will have created a giant detour around this core constitutional requirement. For property owners, particularly owners of rights and government land, this detour has very practical consequences. Mineral rights command a market value because of the unqualified right to access them freely without the consent of the surface owner. Without this right, the mineral rights are worthless. And as the law has long recognized, being able to petition a government agency for permission to access them is all but worthless. Knowing a legal route has been open for depressing property values and acquiring land for virtually nothing may be why one Interior Department official called the appeals panel ruling probably the most significant taking decision to ever come from a federal court. There are implications for other constitutional rights as well. Imagine if we said newspapers were free to operate as long as they asked the government's permission to access their offices and printing plants from the public roads and sidewalks. Does anyone doubt that assurances that permission would be routinely granted could quiet the indignation and protest of journalists everywhere? No one expects most papers to rise in defense of property owners. But now that this case has reached the policy level, why is the Department of the Interior fighting the original Court of Claims decision? Protecting economic liberty and property rights should be fundamental in this administration. The understanding of rightful public use may change over time, yet the obligation of compensation does not, and justice requires that government pay for what it takes. The Supreme Court recognizes the profound issues at stake in Stearns and accepts it for review. Justice John Roberts and his brethren will have an opportunity in their next term to confirm one of the bedrock rights of our entire legal system. That would be a landmark decision. And that is a great point. Boy, I really appreciate Edwin Meese bringing this up because this is an excellent and important issue. That's why I read his entire article on here today. We'll be looking to find this Stearns case in the coming months to see how much the government will or the state will be eroding our rights to property further, expecting only the worst out of this statist regime headed by G.W. Bush and his cronies in Congress. And you've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We have come up to a time for a break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
As long as the state, the agency of coercion, stands over society offering to dispense economic privilege to those who pay it homage, conferring an advantage on some men at the expense of other men, the misuse of political power should be the first line of attack for the moralist. It is inevitable that political privilege will be used in this way if it is available and begging to be used. No people has ever resisted it who have been led into this temptation. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 84.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you joined us this morning. Another great day, this 20th day of September 2005, and lots of interesting things going on in the news as we've been reading about property rights, homosexuality, public schools, and a host of other things this morning early on. For the moment here, we need to take a quick check of the weather, then we want to get right to a caller.
Okay, well, right now in Greenville, Spartanburg, 70 degrees. Downtown, 72. Anderson, 66. Clemson, 67. Today, mostly sunny this morning, then partly cloudy this afternoon, with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms late in the day. Highs in the lower 90s. Southeast winds around 5 miles per hour, and chance of rain is 20%.
Okay, and we're having some trouble with one of our phone lines. It doesn't seem to be working real well, the 244-8177 today. So when you call, prefer the backup line, which is 864-201-6955, 864-201-6955. And right now we have with us on the line Chuck. We'd like to welcome you to the show, Chuck.
Good morning. Thank you.
Okay. I'm only getting Chuck in one ear of my headset. Well, at any rate, go ahead, Chuck.
Okay. Thank you for reading that article by Ed Neath. That was a great article. I'm really excited about property rights, especially since, the thing was horrible.
My, yes, no kidding. It has been a horrible decision, that Kelo decision, but this could even be worse, the Stearns decision. They might overturn all of the common law property right doctrine that's held our type of civilization together for well over 1,000 years.
That's right. And just the initiation of the income tax and local property tax, I think we're already eroding property taxes pretty bad, property rights pretty badly.
Yeah, no kidding. I hear you.
I had another question for you this morning, too. A recent sermon has gotten me thinking again about the story of David and Abigail. And I was curious, excuse me if I'm stringing this on you and you really haven't thought about it, but just curious, what do you make of that story? Because it seems a very odd story on its face, that David's been protecting this man's property, and I guess it kind of ties in what we're talking about. He then finds that the man doesn't want to reward his men at all. His men had gone up to him, respectfully asked, can you help us with food, et cetera, because they're soldiers, they're not farmers. And this is a man who is very wealthy and has, large interest, could easily help the soldiers and help provision them, but he refuses and insults them. So David says, strap on your swords and let's go take care of this guy. But that seems unusually harsh, and it seems unlike David in a lot of ways.
Well, David was he was a man, and he sinned. I mean, that, there's no other way to justify the whole Naboth's vineyard action. I mean, yeah, it hurt David's pride, and David wanted something, and he didn't get it. It wasn't very gracious for the other man, Naboth, to behave the way that he did. Nevertheless, he did behave that way. I believe it's is it Naboth? Is that who you're talking about here?
No, it's another. I'm forgetting the man's name at the moment. I remember his wife was Abigail. That's the one that stuck with me. And she acted prudently and went out and offered a peace offering to David. And he said, "Thank you. You've turned me away from my wrath, and I appreciate it."
All right. Well,
and I ended up marrying her.
I'd have to actually go back and look at the story. I thought this was Naboth. Now I'm getting mixed up maybe with the story with Ahab. But Abigail, wasn't Abigail the one who ran out and said, you know, my husband is a fool. Don't
exactly.
And said, look, you know, let the guy alone. You know, he's an idiot. He's a jerk. We're really sorry about this. I'm going to bring you the food, and I'm going to appease your wrath, so to speak. I think that's the story. Well, David had no right to this guy's private property. He, even as the king, he had no right. And Ahab, when he tried to take the vineyard later on, knew that he had no right to the property, and that's why Jezebel murdered the fellow in the vineyard. So in both cases, all I can say is David sinned in this case, just as he did with Bathsheba. It was wrong, it was treacherous, and yet the Bible doesn't talk about it as sin, which is sort of perplexing, isn't it? Because it seems like the Bible's condoning almost David's action here.
Well, it is, and you know what, I take a little different take on it. It seems like simple, and sometimes the standards, even when God applies them, are different for nations than they are for just individuals. For example, an individual would never go out and slaughter a family with its children, and yet God actually commanded Israel to do that as a judgment on another nation. And in this case, I think David had, you know, he was in rebellion from Saul, or hiding from Saul, and I suspect what he had done is he had, in effect, set up sort of a little state of his own. And so, in effect, he was very graciously or gently collecting taxes, and these people had refused to pay.
Huh. Well, that's an interesting thought. But could he arbitrarily just tax somebody like that? I that's a good point. I guess in Israel, there was no constitution. Maybe the king could tax arbitrarily at will and in a discriminatory fashion, say, I want you to pay this year's taxes and the other people don't have to pay it. Now, that's interesting. That's an interesting point. Hadn't thought of that before.
Yeah, and I'm not sure I'm fully on firm ground about that, but it's just my suspicion, because the Bible doesn't speak of it sinfully, that because, in fact, and he was already at that point anointed as king of Israel.
That's right. Well, that's an interesting point. It could well be under that system. Of course, the theocracy is very different than policy today. We wouldn't want to give George Bush that kind of arbitrary authority, for instance. But it could well be that in the Old Covenant, in the nation of Israel, that they had that special authority. I appreciate you bringing that up for us, Chuck, because that's some interesting food for thought.
Yeah, if there was ever a divine right of kings, David and Solomon had it.
Oh, clearly. Well, it was even more than that. The theocracy goes far beyond a divine right. Those people actually carried out the commandments of God in toto. It wasn't just a divine right pick of a few favorite laws that they might want to enforce through a government system. It was actually administration of God's kingdom in the world through the enforcement of all of his law. So it was far beyond a divine right, and it may well be that the king had arbitrary authority to tax.
Okay, well, I was curious to see your take on it. If you get a chance to look at it and want to comment further, I'll be listening, and it'd be interesting to hear what you think.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Chuck. I might have an opportunity to go back and look at that and maybe comment it on it tomorrow or so if it's of any interest. Thanks for the call, Chuck. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, great. Bye-bye.
All right. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. A little bit late for a break. We're going to jump there now, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning, Eastern Time. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we have a couple of announcements to catch up on. Behind in our announcements a little bit, I want to remind folks about the Times Examiner, our favorite paper here in the upstate. You can get a subscription to the Times Examiner for only $25 in-state and $27 out-of-state. It's a weekly publication that comes out chock-full of great pro-life libertarian and constitutionalists and other so-called right-wing columnists. You can give a call to 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576 to start your subscription up. If you're tired of reading liberal columnists, read the Times Examiner. The Times Examiner supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. By all means, get a subscription started today at 864-268-0576. To place an ad in the Times Examiner, call David directly at 859-6817. That's area code 864-859-6817, and specifically ask for David. I want to remind folks about the TyrannyResponse.com website. TyrannyResponse.com has many important, much important information for us here in the upstate of South Carolina and elsewhere. For instance, under the events tab, you're going to find our calendar for each month, which displays all the great and important events going on here in the upstate. Last night, of course, we had the Christian Exodus meeting in Pelzer. On Thursday night, we had the joint meeting of the Constitution Party and the Greenville Taxpayers Association at downtown Greenville Library at 7 o'clock through 8:30. Hope you can attend that. Next week, there'll be other great events, and they're all listed there for you under the events tab. The Tyranny Response Network is also looking for volunteers to help with the production of this particular show, the Christian Worldview Show, as a substitute producer once in a while, as well as other people who have technical skills, who can spend an hour or two or more a month to help with technical issues on the and developing our signal and broadcast and so forth. We've had some recent glitches with that and some recent challenges, and we could sure use people's help. If you can help, go to the contacts tab on tyrannyresponse.com and email somebody and let them know, and we'll put you in touch with the people that are necessary in order to make you a viable part of our own operation here on the Tyranny Response Network. And finally, we want to remind folks that we have the audio tab. The audio tab contains a number of excellent files, important files for people to read. For people to listen to, teaching them about, for among other things, the theology of public policy. What is it that the Bible teaches about taxes, slavery, nationhood, or about revolution in general, rebellion? These things are all taken up and many more under the audio tab at the Tyranny Response Network's homepage, thetyrannyresponse.net or tyrannyresponse.com. Hope you can have a visit today. Finally, I mentioned one other thing. Under the related media tab, we have also the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition, an opportunity for you to visit down, scroll down to that spot towards the bottom over the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition. Click on the link and sign the petition to protect your private property. It takes only 30 seconds to do so, and you'll be glad you did, and it'll help a little bit in the cause for liberty. So we would encourage people to continue to do that. I'd mentioned the other day that Spartanburg would be online by now, and it hasn't been. There's been, unfortunately, and yet another temporary setback in getting the Spartanburg transmission up and going. So those of you who have been waiting patiently to have Spartanburg working are going to have to wait a little bit longer. Hopefully not too much longer, but 87.9 will be available there at some point soon. There's some talk about possibly having Liberty get a transmitter anytime in the near future here to have that side going before we end up moving on to another spot that that can actually get far better coverage for Anderson and Pickens. So stay tuned to 87.9. Keep checking that every once in a while this week and next. And depending on where you are in the upstate, here in Greenville, still the 97.7 is the right area to find the Christian Worldview show. In the Powdersville area, there's 96.5. Powdersville, Pelzer, Piedmont, all of that area there is on 96.5. So we hope you can tune into Christian Worldview over there. Well, believe it or not, we're trying to catch up with the break schedule here, so we're going to go ahead and jump to another break here real quickly, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. The Bill of Rights. The first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States, than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Well, we've been having some interesting discussion here about 1 Samuel chapter 25 and the whole issue of Nabal. That's the guy's name. I was getting confused earlier with the word Naboth, who was under King Ahab. Nabal and Abigail, who eventually married David. The whole story was essentially that David's army wanted to have some food, and they went to Nabal, the rich man, and said, "No, give us some food now." And he said, "No." And his wife came out and said, "Look, you're going to go and kill this man. He is a fool. Take the food here. I'll bring it to you instead." That's in the abbreviated version. Chuck called and had some questions about whether or not that was right action for the king to do, and we were discussing whether or not that happened to be a special taxing authority that they had in the nation of Israel particularly. Now, Quess is on the line and has a further comment about that. Go ahead, Quess.
Yeah, I think the situation with Israel is a little different, like in that God specifically warned the Israelites about the injustices of accepting a king, and God warned them about taxation and, the potential loss of property and various unlike other things, and they still begged, essentially begged God for a king, and I think that does make that situation a little different, because they almost voluntarily even after being warned by God, accepted the king in these possible injustices that were to follow.
That's a great point, Quest. You're talking about First Samuel chapter 8, verses 4 through 24, where God was basically rejected by the Israelites, and they wanted to have a king like the other nations around them. And Samuel warned them that they would be enslaved and taxed, among other things. And you're right; it's a great point, because nowhere in the passage there does it say that the taxing authority would be limited, would be direct, or would be uniform, or in any way fair. It could be that the king in Israel just would have arbitrary taxing authority, and in this case, David might not have been sinning, because, as you said, that's what they asked for, and that's what they got.
Yep. That's my take on it.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the call, Quest. It's a great point, and it's something we hadn't thought about much here before, but I think we're coming to some closure on this, that this indeed was the case. So thanks for the call. Call back again sometime soon.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye-bye, Quest. And this is a very interesting point that we're talking about here. When you have government, or the state, I should say, you don't necessarily get anything that's fair from the state. You know, we're used to having fairness in taxation and this idea from the Christian worldview point or perspective here in America, because of the heritage of liberty we've had in America, and the idea that taxation without representation is wrong and so forth. But why is it that anyone else should expect that? I mean, after all, taxation has been anything but fair in the history of the world. It's frequently been skewed, and has skewered people with its arbitrary and capricious tendencies. So in the Old Testament, it could well be that kings simply enjoyed the privilege of doing what they wanted to, and assaulting one group or one man like Nabal rather than others. So in this particular case, where I think we may be coming to some closure on this, could be an interesting perspective to develop even further. Well, good work, Quest, and also to Chuck, who came up with the very excellent point there. Well, we want to make a quick ad here for the Libertarian Party. Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting Libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other Libertarians? You'll find they are regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at the library on Malden Road between the Old Stadium and Lawrence Road. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us for the Libertarian Underground at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground, just off of Main Street downtown. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network, and we appreciate all the support we do get from the Libertarian Party, as well as other folks here in the Upstate, the League of the South, and so forth, and all their efforts to champion the truth here in our great country. I'm talking about the country of South Carolina, of course. Well, when we come back, we've got some interesting stories coming up, including the dumping of the U.S. dollar being worrying certain Australians, and some other articles regarding. Well, you'll have to just wait and see. There are always good articles that we have here. Stuff that comes up here on the World Christian Worldview Show that you just don't hear anywhere else. Where else do you have? You know, I was driving down the road yesterday. I just happened to turn on our station and listen to some of the things going on with Cato and some of these great new programs that are being played throughout the day, in addition to the Christian Worldview Show. And I decided, I said to my wife, I said, look, you know, is there any other station that you can turn to in the Upstate that is anything even close to ours? And the answer, of course, is no. Everyone else is the typical blather, the typical news of the hour, no alternative news, not even the truth half the time. Here we talk about deeper issues. We're the station that helps you think better, and this program specifically is designed to help make you a better Christian than you are, a better thinking Christian, one who's able to transform his world a little better. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
As long as the state, the agency of coercion, stands over society offering to dispense economic privilege to those who pay it homage, conferring an advantage on some men at the expense of other men, the misuse of political power should be the first line of attack for the moralist. It is inevitable that political privilege will be used in this way if it is available and begging to be used. No people has ever resisted it who have been led into this temptation. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 84.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. This 20th day of September 2005. Glad you've joined us. The research staff wanted to send this familiar quote up from P.J. O'Rourke in his famous book, The Parliament of Horrors, speaking about the U.S. Congress. He says the following: giving money and power to government is like giving whiskey and car keys to teenage boys. Of course, he's talking about public schooled teenage boys. Giving money and power to government is like giving whiskey and car keys to teenage boys. So true in that context. Let's have a quick look at the weather.
All right, in Greenville, Spartanburg, it's 70 degrees right now. Downtown, 71. Anderson, 66. Also in Clemson, 66. Today, it's mostly sunny this morning, then partly cloudy this afternoon with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms late in the day. Highs in the lower 90s, southeast winds around 5 miles per hour, and chance of rain is 20%.
Okay, well, good. We have, the days have been too hot as far as I'm concerned. Is this the first day of fall? I always get this mixed up. Is tomorrow the first day of fall or today the first day of fall? Well, I should just go check my little calendar where it says, you know, here's the equinox and blah, 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 and I'd be able to tell. But anyway, not that critical. If anybody wants to call in and tell me if this is the first day of fall or tomorrow, we'd be appreciative and be glad to hear from you. Otherwise, we're going to march on here. Here is an article by Charlie Reese. We are revolutionary, says Charlie Reese. Love to read Charlie Reese's columns. Of course, he's a pro-Southern patriot, one who loves liberty. We Are Revolutionaries appears on LouRockwell.com. He says, it would be a hopeful sign if the Senate could get away from its obsession with abortion and on demand to consider during the Supreme Court confirmation hearings what the Constitution is and what it isn't. Some people seem to be under the erroneous belief that the Constitution grants us our rights. It does no such thing. To understand the Constitution, you have to remember the Declaration of Independence, which preceded it by several years. It is a declaration that contains the philosophy of the American Revolution. The Constitution really implements that philosophy. The philosophy of the American Revolution contains three basic premises. One, that is, rights come from God and are inalienable. Two is that men create governments to protect these rights. Three is that when government fails to protect these rights and becomes abusive of these rights, men have a right and even a duty to overthrow that government or create a new one. Great summary of Jefferson, for Charlie Reese there. And I do appreciate, by the way, Brian Morton from Christian Libertarians or LibertarianChristians.org sending in this article for us to read online. Let me continue on with what Reese says. Some Americans have so neglected their study of American history that the idea of violently overthrowing government strikes them as, well, communist or some such. It's Jeffersonian, folks. Of course, if the Founding Fathers had not violently overthrown the colonial government of Great Britain in North America, we would not be an independent nation. If you read the Constitution with those three premises in mind, and both documents were written to be read by ordinary folks, not legal scholars, it makes perfect sense. The main part of the Constitution simply establishes the framework for the federal government and its three parts, defines their respective duties, and establishes what the federal government can do and what the states can do. None of that has anything at all to do with individual rights or with social issues. The Bill of Rights, which is a set of fundamental amendments added after ratification to reassure opponents of the Constitution that the new government would not usurp their rights, simply forbids the new federal government from abusing or abridging already existing rights. The right to free speech and all others existed prior to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. The language of the First Amendment tells what the intent that was. Congress shall pass no law. Only the new federal government had a Congress. The Second Amendment does not grant the people the right to keep and bear arms. They already had and continue to have that right. It simply says that the already existing right cannot be abridged. You cannot abridge something that does not exist. Remember, too, the same people involved in the Constitution were involved in the Revolution. Obviously, if you believe people have a right to overthrow a government, then no government must be allowed to disarm them. It is also good to keep in mind the Constitution is a textual document, not a living document. That was a false metaphor intended to provide a cover for judges to legislate and amend by interpretation so that the Constitution would mean whatever they said it meant. Not so. It means what it says. It cannot be amended by interpretation or by Congress ignoring it, though modern politicians have committed both sins. The Constitution was written as a written contract between the sovereign people and their government. It was ratified by the people, and only the people can change it through the amendment process. Every single American, liberal or conservative, should be fiercely adamant on that point. Otherwise, we have a nation of men, not of laws. Finally, keep in mind that the Constitution was never intended to deal with moral and philosophical issues such as abortion. The Founding Fathers properly left those to elected legislatures. But that's why Roe v. Wade is a profoundly flawed decision. The court usurped the powers of the 50 state legislatures and, by interpretation, created a right to privacy in the words of the Constitution that the words of the Constitution do not support. It is said when the Constitutional Convention ended, a lady asked Benjamin Franklin what kind of government they had given the people. "Madam, we have given you a republic, if you can keep it," was the reply. That is still an open question. If Americans continue to allow lawyers and academics to tell them what is so and not so, instead of thinking for themselves, then most assuredly, we won't keep it. Great article by Charlie Reese. Most of the time, I appreciate what Charlie Reese has to say, and that's why I took the time to read that entirely here on the show. Well, we have a break coming up. Wanted to just mention to you that one of our favorites here at Christian Worldview, a modern theonomist, patriot, and Baptist preacher, John Weaver, has a new website. Some of you may be familiar with John Weaver and be interested to know about his website. It can be found at dominionministry.com. That's dominionministry.com. It wouldn't be a bad idea if we could get Richie to put that on the webpage, dominionministry.com. Although I'm not a theonomist, we have plenty of theonomists here at the Tyranny Response Network, and we can always learn from one another, and especially some of the great things. I don't care what your perspective is, whether you're even liberty of conscience or a pacifist, you can read things on dominionministry.com and learn something that's important for you as a thinking Christian. So we encourage its development, and we appreciate that he's got that new webpage, and thanks to the staff for sending in that info to us. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
Question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info.
There, you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. In the Australian today, or actually it was yesterday, dumping of the U.S. dollar could trigger an economic September 11th. There is potentially fatal flaw in the heart of the global economy, the strong possibility of financial meltdown following the collapse of confidence in the greenback. Clyde Prestowitz tells Bruce Stannard on August 29th, this came out. The nightmare scenario that haunts global strategist Clyde Prestowitz is an economic September 11th, a worldwide financial panic triggered by a sudden massive sell-off of U.S. dollars that would lead inexorably to the collapse of economies around the world. If that happens, Prestowitz predicts it would make the Great Depression of the 1930s look like a walk in the park. Australia would be sucked into a vortex of such a recession, which would cause great hardship throughout the world. He warns. Prestowitz is not a doomsayer, neither is he alone in his views. And the article goes on to discuss these a little further. Here's my take on this sort of stuff. One of our researchers here at the Tyranny Response Network asked my take on it. And it's simply this. Governments, especially Western governments in the United States and Western Europe, have become so mature and so sophisticated in their ability to be parasites. When I say governments, I really mean states. These state parasites have become so sophisticated in how they devour the host and loot people and so forth for their own power and prestige and economic gain that they're not going to do anything that's going to diminish their ability to survive and thrive. Now, if it means that they can somehow do a global collapse through a dumping of the U.S. dollar, and that through that they can actually foresee with credible certainty that they will come out of it after a few years with more power, more money, more authority, and more control than they have right now, then yes, I think it's feasible. We've always known that the Federal Reserve and some of these other institutions like the IMF and different organizations that control money supply flows could indeed cause a collapse. There was a book came out called Bankruptcy 1995 that predicted such a thing, back 15 years ago. And it never came to pass. Why? Because it was not a suitable thing for the people who are in charge of things to do so. Those folks are not going to do something that's going to undermine their interests. So my response to this is I'm sort of doubtful because I don't see how the kind of debacle that they're talking about in this article would actually benefit those in power and authority. It could be that it'll happen, and they'll have a good plan for it if that's the case. And for you to be prepared, make sure you have lots of debt, because crazy as it sounds, lots of debt. Of course, own an asset. I'm not saying go out and spend the money on a credit card. Have debt against your home and whatnot, because that's going to be able to be paid off with cheaper dollars when they inflate. Make sure you own a fairly good amount of gold or other assets, and make sure you invest as my good friend told me the other day, in brass and lead. That is, in bullets and shells, guns. Those are also good things to own. So make sure you diversify accordingly. It's not a bad idea to probably own some stock will come out of all of this better than other things, but don't hold anything in cash or bonds except the very minimal amount that you need to survive. So that's what I would suggest to you if any of you are wondering, but I don't expect that this dumping of the U.S. dollar is going to occur. I may be wrong, so just understand that it's just an opinion. I don't think the state is going to do anything that's going to hinder its own best interests, because that's what the state's there for, to be a parasitic leech on society that grabs loot from people. Here's another story from Dave Black online. Patrick Henry was right. Patrick Henry was right. What does liberty mean in the 21st century? Can it be maintained? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Do these words have any relevance for a society that has largely forgotten its historical roots? Consider the plight of the American people. We have become apathetic, even apologetic, of our heritage. We have forgotten that the original intent of the Constitution was to place limits on the government's ability to intrude into people's lives. We have bought the devil's lie that humans can build in a utopian heaven on earth through what Bush the Elder called a New World Order. Perhaps more than any other founding father, it was Patrick Henry who tried to warn his compatriots that adopting the U.S. Constitution would eventually lead to a consolidated empire instead of a federated republic, which they had under the Articles of Confederation. If our founders had foreseen that the Constitution would be used to overthrow liberty and establish despotism, they probably would never have ratified it. The anti-federalists like Patrick Henry were distrustful of a central government that was built at the price of liberty. That is why they insisted on the Bill of Rights to stay the hand of tyranny for as long as possible. Henry said, "We are descended from a people whose government was founded on liberty, but now the American spirit, assisted by the ropes and chains of a consolidation, is about to convert this country into a powerful and mighty empire. If you make the citizens of this country agree to become the subjects of one great consolidated empire of America, your government will not have sufficient energy to keep them together. Such government is incompatible with the genius of republicanism." Years later, Alexander Stevens, Vice President of the Confederate States of America, would say, "The great vital question now is, shall the federal government be arrested in its progress and be brought back to its original principles, or shall it be permitted to go on its present tendencies and rapid strides until it reaches complete consolidation?" More recently, James Hall, writing in Ether Zone, noted, "The events of September 11, 2001 were tragic, but hardly provide justification to abandon our Constitution or deploy the military to every corner of the globe. And the security of the United States is not enhanced by perpetual intervention and permanent war. The presidency is meant to lead the country, not to transform the nation into an empire. President Bush has overseen the expansion of the federal government that no Democratic administration could accomplish. His use of executive orders has only increased the scope and reach of central authority. Resonantly absent are any efforts to enact fundamental conservative policies or to reverse past policies of liberal administrations. Appointments and procedures all reinforce and expand a dominant role of bureaucratic agencies over local jurisdictions. The defense of liberty has been forsaken and is the ultimate causality of the Bush legacy." In the end, Patrick Henry and the anti-federalists were right. People are far too trusting of the government. Henry realized what few of us are willing to admit any longer, that men are basically evil, intrinsically power-hungry, and inherently incapable of being anything but tyrants in their feeble attempts to play God. And that was from David Allen Black on September 19th, 2005. Appreciate that insightful commentary, and I agree. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back with our last segment in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And the Greenville Conference, I want to remind you of this, the Greenville Conference of the Christian Exodus will occur on October 15th, that's Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. It's $40 to attend, and we're trying to encourage as many people as possible to attend this event. It'll be a great event, and it should be interesting to hear what's going on with the Christian Exodus folks. 877-727-3578 is the number to call to register. That's 877-727-3578. Christian Exodus is the one project everybody is talking about because it is correctly identifies America's problem and its solution. The speakers at the upcoming conference will include Mr. Michael Chapman, Dr. John Coben, yours truly, Mr. Arthur Bringleston, and Corey R. Burnell, who's the president of Christian Exodus. They're going to be panelists and workshops talking about what's going on with Christian Exodus here in the upstate and the proposed plans for future expansion into Greenville, Dorchester, other counties of South Carolina. So by all means, attend if you can. Right now, they're having trouble filling up the basic quota, and they really need people to attend the Christian Exodus meeting. $40 to attend. 877-727-3578 is the phone number to call to register. That's 877-727-3578. Hope to see you out there for the Christian Exodus Conference on October 15th here in Greenville, South Carolina. Well, here's a couple of news stories. In fact, I got several we can end the show on that are interesting, sent up by our illustrious research staff. The first one is on WorldNet Daily. Church becomes ground zero for gay versus ex-gay showdown. Homosexuals picket worshipers leaving service, complain about planned Love One Out seminar. Oh, so the church has become ground zero for gay versus ex-gay showdown. Homosexual protesters picketed in front of a Boston church yesterday as the morning service was ending, saying they were targeting the congregation because it is hosting a conference about leaving the gay lifestyle. According to anti-homosexual group Article 8, about a dozen protesters lined on the sidewalk outside Tremont Temple Baptist Church in downtown Boston shortly before noon. And there's all the homosexuals in front. They have a picture of them right now on the Internet. The church plans to host the touring Love One Out conference October 29th, and the local homosexual community has been protesting that fact ever since its announcement. Boston gay activists have decided this is a message they don't want people to be able to hear, the organization said on its website. Article 8 says the church has had a police officer stationed inside its front door as a security precaution. This could happen to your church eventually, the group told supporters. So there we go. The homosexuals are now protesting in front of churches and picketing worshipers as they're leaving the service. Isn't that wonderful? We live in a great country. And Boston, of all places, can you imagine Boston doing such a thing? Did they really have, like, you know, the first shot fired that was heard around the world? Did they really have the Patriots that stood up? Where did all those people go? I mean, I guess they ended right around 1800, because as soon as the American War for Independence was fought and won, those people just dropped off the map. Sam Adams, all those guys are gone. Whatever happened to Boston afterward is maybe somewhat mysterious, but I'll tell you what, Massachusetts is a former American state. You might as well pitch the whole thing and attach it to Greenland or something else, because it's nothing to do with the principles of America or the founding of this country. Here's another article. Rest in peace, Posse Comitatus. Posse Comitatus, I think that's how I usually pronounce it. Kurt Nimmo, another day in the empire, says, the original 1878 Posse Comitatus Act was indeed passed with the intent of removing the army from domestic law enforcement. Posse Comitatus means the power of the country, reflecting the inherent power of the Old West sheriff to call upon a posse of able-minded men to supplement law enforcement assets and thereby maintain the peace. Following the Civil War, the army had been used extensively throughout the South to maintain civil order, to enforce the policies of Reconstruction era, and to ensure that any lingering sentiments of rebellion were crushed. However, in reaching these goals, the Army necessarily became involved in traditional police roles and enforcing politically volatile Reconstruction-era policies. The stationing of federal troops at political events and polling places under jurisdiction of maintaining domestic order became an increasing concern to Congress, which felt the Army was becoming politicized and straying from its original national defense mission. The Posse Comitatus Act was passed to remove the Army from civilian law enforcement and return it to the role of defending the borders of the United States. It was Representative Ron Paul of Texas who read the Congressional Record of June 25, 1997, well before the malfeasance of George Bush, the Constitution-bashing Patriot Act, the reckless so-called War on Terror, the following: in a police state, the police are national, powerful, authoritarian. Inevitably, national governments yield to the temptation to use the military to do the heavy lifting. Once the military is used, however minor initially, the march toward martial law becomes irresistible. Fast forwarding to the present, in the wake of Hurricane Katrina, General Peter Grace, soon to become Vice Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, has called for Posse Comitatus to be reconsidered in response to suggestions that it slowed down deployment of troops, according to Jurist, a legal research website. This is a very, very serious and very dangerous thing, and the fellow that's pointing this out right here is telling us, basically, Posse Comitatus is a great right that we've had, or not right, but a great bill that we've had, a law that we've had in our books here in the United States for well over 100 years, and it's threatened now, and we're going towards martial law. You need to be prepared for this, folks. You need to have your own weapons, your own stuff prepared to defend yourself against the encroachments of the civil government. The original Posse Comitatus Act in 1878 was indeed passed with the intent of removing the army from domestic enforcement. And since that power of the country is an important piece of our lifestyle today and our reality today, we need to be careful to preserve the institutions of liberty ensured to us and guaranteed to us by the Constitution. Well, you've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us this morning. Hope we've made your day brighter and helped you think a little bit more deeply. Do something good today, folks. Improve the Christian worldview in someone else's life by challenging them from something from the Scriptures or even something from our own country's great principles and founding, that they should stand firm in transforming their culture and upholding the rights to liberty, life, and property in this nation today, and not letting things just slide away without even a squawk, which is unfortunately what most Christians are doing. At any rate, we hope to have you back again for another exciting edition of Christian Worldview tomorrow morning. Until then, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.